Our scripture reading today comes from the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Rick, do you have that? Okay, I've got it here, so I can just read it from here. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now the key words in this scripture reading are the words, I will hear. And that is going to be the subject of today's sermon. Now if you look at the title of that particular sermon, you'll see that it basically says, when God doesn't listen. So you think I'm probably off to a bad start. But I can tell you by the end of this, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Today we're going to talk about when God doesn't listen. In college, I wrote a thesis paper that included the word omnipresent. The meaning of the word, according to the Webster's Dictionary, is as follows. Present, everywhere, at the same time. Now this, to me, is the perfect description of our God, although at the time in my life, I didn't really draw the comparisons. But our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is everything, and he can hear everything, and he can see everything. Let me repeat that last line. He sees everything, and he can hear everything. But there's a difference between hearing, and there's a difference between listening. Not a day goes by that I don't have the following accusations thrown at me from my lovely wife. Did you hear what I said? You don't listen to me. I told you 6 months ago I bought that dress. Though to me, it was the first time I ever saw it. In some ways, hearing to me is unintentional. I can be dozing off in a chair watching television, sipping on a Crown Royal. I'm not listening to anything that Janice is saying, but I am hearing the words. Listening means that you have tuned in to what is being said. It means that you are giving your undivided attention to what is taking place. A while back, I asked Janice if she had taken care of the swimming pool responsibilities. In other words, I wanted to know if she put the chemicals in the water. Very simple question. Yes, no. I was looking for the short answer. But instead, I got the long version to a simple question. You see, my wife can be quite expressive at times, especially when she perceives that all I'm doing is lounging in the water on a raft, probably having another Crown Royal. She explains to me that she did what I was supposed to be doing. The chemicals have been added. The levels of the chemicals were checked. The temperature of the water has been checked. The filters were cleaned. And just to make her point, the fact that all I did was just lie there in the pool and did nothing. Now, I have to ask you, is that wrong? No. I really wasn't looking for all that information. All I wanted to know was, did you put the chemicals in the pool? The whole time she was telling the story, I was hearing what she was saying, but I wasn't listening. I was there, but I wasn't tuned in to anything she was saying. Now, this next statement may surprise you, but I do believe it is true. Even though God hears everything, he doesn't always listen. Now, I know that may seem like an incorrect statement, but hear me out. Let's take a look at the parable of the prodigal son from the book of Luke. The youngest son asked his father to give him his inheritance early. His father agreed. The young man took the funds, he left home, and he squandered everything he had on the wrong things. Eventually, that money ran out. It was nobody's fault except for his. He decided at this time to return home with the hopes that his father would accept him back into his house. Now, the youngest son had prepared a big speech, a speech that he felt would probably explain the poor decisions to his father. And I'm sure it probably went something like this. Father, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against God. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But when the son finally returned home and he saw his father started to run towards him. And when he finally reached his son, he grabbed him and he hugged him. Now, this was the time for the big speech to take place, for that son to deliver what he was going to say to his father. And he started off. Father, I am unworthy to be called your son. I have dishonored the family. I have made many mistakes. But the father wasn't listening. While the son was attempting to pour out his feelings, the father was no more listening to his son than I was listening when Janice was telling me about the pool. The father, instead, he called for the greatest robe. He called for a ring for the individual to wear. He actually asked for the fatted calf to be slaughtered. I can see the son trying to tell his father how unworthy he was, that he didn't deserve such special treatment. But the father wasn't having any part of it. He wasn't listening. Do you find yourself these days acting like the son did to his father, telling God about everything that is wrong with you, how many mistakes you've made, how you don't deserve to be blessed? Well, if you are, let me just say this. God isn't listening. You're not worthy because of what you did or you didn't do. You're worthy because of what Jesus did. Now, you don't need to go to God and try to convince him that you're not good enough, that you've made all kinds of mistakes in your life. He tunes all this out. If you want to go to God and you want him to hear you, then you have to go to him with the language of faith. You need to thank him. Thank him for forgiving all your transgressions, past and future. One of the mistakes I make is I feel that the more that I go to God with the same issue, the better off I'm going to be. He has to be listening to me. I mean, after all, I've come to him 1,000 different times with the same issue over and over and over again. But it doesn't work that way. You have to realize that the moment that you ask God to forgive you, he already forgave you. When you're telling God all the times that you failed, how you don't deserve to be blessed, God's not saying, good, I'm glad you feel that way. I'm glad you feel unworthy. He's just not paying attention. All that is doing is make you feel bad about yourself. Now, when you need mercy, then you go boldly to the throne and you ask for forgiveness with the thought already ingrained in your mind that you are forgiven. In the story of the prodigal son, the son made a mistake, but his father was running towards him, just like God would run towards you. Not to make you feel guilty, not to make you feel ashamed, but to love you. Now, you can tell God how ashamed you are about something you did or maybe something that you didn't do. You can do that if that makes you feel better about yourself. But he's not listening. God doesn't listen to that. He listens to the language of faith. He doesn't listen when you're beating yourself up, telling him that you don't deserve things. Now, I've learned from past experiences that your enemies, and sometimes co-workers, and I'm not kidding you, even sometimes relatives, sad to say, would love to see you living in misery. They'll remind us all the time that we're not measuring up to their expectations. I was reminded repeatedly by my brother when my dad was in a nursing facility 2 hours away that I didn't visit him enough. You see, there's always going to be some reason that we are made to feel bad about ourselves. Maybe you forgot an anniversary. Maybe you forgot a birthday. Maybe you didn't take the time to comfort someone who was less fortunate than you were. Perhaps you lost your temper with a grandchild, something I've never done. If you give into those perceptions of your character, you're always going to have the feeling that there's something wrong with you. But here's what I've learned. When you make a mistake, just ask God for forgiveness and move on. Stop punishing yourself. Janice is constantly telling me to stop belaboring issues that concern me. Stop questioning your motives as to why you did or didn't do something. Don't keep asking God over and over and over again. And the thing is, she's right. The first time that I ask God for his forgiveness, not only has he already forgiven me, he probably has moved on to other issues. And there are plenty of them out there. Let's look at it this way. When you have a computer and you store files for later use, sometimes those files become obsolete or they're just of no value to you anymore. So what do? You delete them. You send them to the trash. And this is what God does. He answers your prayers and then he erases those files. In other words, he cleanses your record. If you go back to the story of the prodigal son, the son never got the chance really to ask his father for forgiveness. Just the fact that he turned from his own ways, his old ways, were enough for his father to forgive him. Now, you may have done something that wasn't perfect in your life. I'm sure all of us have. We've all made mistakes. We can find numerous reasons to live guilty if that's what we want to do. But the fact that you are here listening to this great sermon is a sign that you've turned towards God. It's a sign that you're headed toward the Father's house. Now the Father is running towards you. Like the prodigal son, who had his whole speech lined up to tell his father how sorry he was about the way he led his life, some of us are ready to tell God that we are unworthy, that we've made mistakes, that you don't deserve his blessings. Well, save your speech, because God's not listening. His mercy has covered everything, everything that you have perceived as being wrong with you. If you really, really want to get God's attention, then start speaking the language of faith. Thank God for everything that he has done for you. Sit there. Pray, say, thank you, God, for overlooking my anger. Thank you, God, for not counting my sins against me. Thank you, God, that I am covered by your mercy. The price has already been paid in full. All your sins, past, present, and into the future, have been taken care of. The way to honor God is not by being down on yourself, but it is by receiving his mercy, by still expecting his favor, his goodness, even though you may have made some past mistakes. Now, some of you, yes, I'm sure, have made some decisions that you weren't happy with. You're not where you thought you would be at this time in your life, perhaps. But you are one decision away from God showing up in your life. The plan he has for you has not been canceled because of any previous mistakes that you may have made. Those decisions did not disqualify you from his favor. All you have to do is arise. Take off the guilt. Quit believing the lies that you've been told that your best days are past. And start heading towards your Father's house. Start making decisions that honor God. Break away from things and people that are causing you to not achieve your best. God still has amazing things in your future if you will dare to arise. Now, God created you to rise to new levels in life. You have the DNA of Almighty God running through your veins. You were made in the image of God, the Father Almighty. The Creator of the universe breathed life into you. You may not feel worthy at times, but God has made you worthy. So arise and go to your Father's house. In the Father's house, there is mercy for every single mistake. In the Father's house, there is no judgment, only mercy. It's interesting when you look at the prodigal son again. When the son came back home, the father not once brought up any of his past issues. He never said, "I forgive you, but you don't deserve it." There was no judgment. There was only mercy from his father. If you're bold enough to ask for God's mercy, then he is bold enough to answer you with the request. Why would you even believe that God wouldn't bless you? That you don't deserve it? Do yourself a favor. Quit telling God all about what you don't deserve. And start thanking him for all that he has done for you and for the mercy that he has given you in your life. Ask him to bless you, not because of how you because of how good you are, but of how good he is. Let me say that again. Ask him to bless you, not because of how good you are, but of how good he is. That's what gets God's attention. That is what he listens to. Ask yourself the question, how much time are you spending being down on yourself? Guilty of past mistakes. Telling God what you don't deserve. That's a lot of emotional energy, and it's just not doing any of us any good. Yes, God does hear you. He knows you are sincere, but he's not listening. He's not moved by your guilt. He's moved by your faith. It takes faith not just to believe in your dreams, but it takes faith to believe that you are forgiven, to believe that you are truly worthy. Remember, your record has been cleared. Your files have been deleted. God is listening. Come boldly to the throne. If you'll do that, I truly believe you're about to see favor like you've never seen before from God. Doors that were previously closed, that you never ever thought would be opened, suddenly they're opened. And you can see at that point in time what the true full destiny is that God has in store for you. Let us pray. You know, sometimes God's plan, you just have to realize it's always the best. Sometimes the process is painful, and sometimes, yes, it is, it's extremely hard. But don't forget that when God is silent, he's doing something good for you. He is listening. When you pray, God listens. When you listen, God talks. When you believe, God works. Have faith in God. Amen. Now, I don't want there to be any misconceptions and so forth today about the sermon when I talk about God isn't listening. What I'm trying to get across is the fact that he is listening. He's not asking you to degrade yourself. He's not asking you to think little of yourself and so forth. That's not God. That is not our God. He's listening. Have faith in him. Go to him when you have issues and problems. But again, don't make my mistake. You only got to do it once. Just once. Because God is listening. So you don't have to go over it time and time and time again. Go to him once. Go to him with faith. And God will listen. Just like the song said, I think the one sentence there, if it's still up there, take it to the Lord in prayer. One thing I'll leave with you here today, I found is, it says this, is one thing I love about God is he'll bring you out of situations that you got yourself into, and he won't hold it against you. And now we go back to what we started at the very beginning. God is good.
All the time.
Go to God in prayer. Thank you very much today for coming. I appreciate it. Pastor Scott will be back next week. Have a great, lovely weekend, whatever's left of it.